So hi everyone, my name is Mathieu Tassé, I'm a software engineer, and this talk is about a retrospective of my last year when it comes to hardware development. So my background is that I do a lot of C programming. I've been doing so for the last 10 years, kernel drivers, libraries, mostly on Linux. So with Yocto, all of that mostly for profit, because you get to make a living. And I've also been hacking on more fun stuff like Guile, NuGeeks, functional stuff for fun this time. And to me, up to last year, hardware was more or less like a black box. I was familiar with the surface of the box, which are data sheets, manuals, schematics, but what's inside of it wasn't that interesting to me. If I had something harder than finding out a GPIO number or any kind of trouble, I found my hardware colleague, dropped the ball, and and moved on. But last year, almost randomly, I discovered the world of hardware repair and microsoldering on YouTube. And it's a fun world. There are some really, really talented people which are repairing some stuff. They are finding the one tiny capacitor that is failing, removing it, and just by buying some 1.001 cent capacitor, you are fixing a board. I found that quite interesting. I think that the world will be really different maybe in 20, 30 years, and having this kind of tool set could be interesting. And at the same time, I had a project where I was involved in the design of a motherboard for an Intel CPU. As the hardware guy was a bit busy, I was somehow, against my will, involved in the hardware selection. And so I learned that it's more or less picking out ICs, which means integrated circuits. It's like often a tiny black box, and you have to pick one. You have to pick one that is not out of stock, and it's challenging these times. And once you pick some that maybe will ship, then you need to draw the wires between them. And it was quite a fun exercise. And it gave me the motivation to acquire some tools, because one of the differences between software and hardware is that with software, well, you can have your laptop and work everywhere. With hardware, my experience is that it's not only that you need some tools, it's that you need all the tools. Like, if you don't have everything, you will still have something missing and you'll be, oh no. And so this is about how to turn your desk into a terrible mess. So first, you need to buy a microscope. You don't need a times 5,000 zoom. 540 is way than enough. You need some LED lighting so that you're able to see what's your under that. And it's quite a fun exercise to learn to solder under a microscope, and it's a nice tool to use. Then you need, obviously, a soldering iron. Most of you are familiar with it. You need a hot air station. It's maybe even more important than the soldering iron. You use that to desolder some ICs, the tiny black things. Resolder them. But it's difficult to manage because it's blowing 400 degrees air, so it's easy to mess everything, burn your board. You need a generator to power your board. You need an oscilloscope to be able to see your signals. You need also a breadboard so that you're able to experiment, try out some things. You need some components, some resistors, some capacitors, some inductances. And as I said, it's nice to have all of those so that when you are trying out something, you don't need to wait for 2 weeks, 5 weeks to experiment. You need a multimeter. You don't need a fancy one. It's like a 2 euros multimeter. The main function is that when you connect the probes, it beeps. And you can. It sounds funny, but with that, you can reverse engineer some tiny circuits. You can isolate some issues. You can do a lot of stuff. You need some flux so that the solder is able to flow nicely. It's probably very toxic and as healthy as like eating lead for breakfast. So maybe you also need some kind of fume extractor. I need to improve mine because, yeah, it's bad. You need also some solder wick or solder pump so that you're able to remove the solder when you have made some mistakes. You need some tweezers, and more than that, you need to learn how to use them because when you are dealing with 0402 components, they like to jump to the end of the room. So quite a fun exercise. You need a puffboard so that once you have a circuit on your breadboard, you can make it more permanent. You need some wires to wire things, obviously. If you have a $2 multimeter, then you probably also need an RLC meter so that you are able to find the values of your components. And last of all, I felt like I needed, I have a software engineer, well, I did some hardware at school, but not so much, and I felt like I needed some kind of reference book. And when it comes to software, to me, it's like, it's SICP, Structured and Interpretation of Computer Programs. It feels to me like a novel, it's like a Stephen King novel. I can read it, I found it so entertaining. And I asked, like, Hacker News, what's the reference book for hardware? And people told me it's The Art of Electronics. So I can just say that it's a whole different deal here, to me at least. Like, reading more than 2 or 3 pages gives me, like, horrible headaches. But it's a reference book. You will find some more in-depth explanations on Electronics Stack Overflow. And, and when I acquired all that equipment, I tried to design some easy circuits. So this one is a flash programming device on a puffboard so that you are able to put your IC on the socket on the left-hand corner and then able to flash it with flash RAM. That was my first circuit. Then I managed to make a few repairs. I had a 0% success rate for like 3 months. Then I did hit 2% success rate by fixing my coffee machine. But since then, I managed to fix quite a few things. I also managed to hack a BIOS. It was a nice thing. I had a laptop with a password protected BIOS. I tried to remove the BIOS, which is the IC there. I burnt it to ashes. I bought another one that I still burnt to ashes. Bought a third one. I flashed it with the device you saw, with flash RAM, put a BIOS without a password, managed to solder it back on with the hot station I thought about. Then it wasn't working because I also managed to blue some copper traces. Then I had to run some wires. But at the end, the notebook booted. And it's not much, but it was quite a success to me. Then finally, I did try to get into PCB design. So I have a LED ribbon around my desk, and I tried to make it like remote controllable. So I designed the PCB. It's like the worst use case you can ever think of, but you get to start somewhere. So I designed a PCB on KiCad with a CPU that was really fun to solder, a regulator, and USB port, nothing fancy. I found KiCad really fun to use. I mean, it was easy to draw the schematics, to make the routing even without any experience. I mean, really nice software. I tried LibreCAD for my next design because the name sounds appealing. it was quite an interesting process. Yeah, that's it. So the takeaway message is that even if you are 100% software engineer and you don't want to get into hardware, having a minimal set of equipment and minimal set of knowledge allows you to do some fun stuff and tries to connect you to your hardware colleagues, which is a good thing in my opinion. So thank you.
Okay, thank you, Matthew.